misses free and affordable ads and social networks without the anti-sex work rhetoric, Assembly 4 is a team of sex workers and technologists in Melbourne, Australia, aiming to bring back free and fair advertising and social spaces to the sex working community. They also give back to organizations based in harm reduction, sex work, and education. Stepping away from the clunky design of traditional platforms, their two products, Tryst.link and Switter.at, are refreshing and well-needed changes in both presentation and mission. Both are free to join and open to all. In the words of an A4 user, from the policies to the language to the advice and tips, it makes such a big difference to feel encouraged and supported instead of policed. Check out their website, assembly4.com, for the word and not the number, for more info. Welcome to the Peep Show Podcast.
News and stories from the sex industry.
With Jesse and PJ Sage. Welcome back to another episode of the Peep Show Podcast. This is actually the last episode of the Peep Show Podcast. PJ and I will be reflecting on the last 5 years of putting out this show and also making a special announcement.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Peep Show Podcast.
Welcome.
That's the very last time I'm ever going to say that.
That's sad. It's bitter. It's bittersweet. Yeah, this is episode 100. We have been trying to get to episode 100, and I have no idea why. It just is a good round number.
We're very neurotic. I mean, you can't.
We're very neurotic.
Well, yeah, I mean, I am.
Okay,
But you signed on for doing 100.
Okay.
Anyways, what she's trying to say is that we've known that we're going to wrap a Peep Show for a while now, probably half a year.
Yeah.
But we decided...
We couldn't stop until we hit 100.
Yeah, why not just go for 100?
100 is a good number of episodes. Yeah,
but here we are. So, yeah. You know, now we have no choice.
So, yeah, this is our 100th episode. It's our last one. PJ and I just kind of wanted to get back on together and talk about this Peep Show journey for you all. Wrap it up.
Yeah. Maybe for ourselves, too.
Yeah, I think mostly for ourselves, actually. This has been like a huge part of our life for so long.
Yeah, and I have to be honest, I've been a little bit like, what is the word, pensive or nervous to do this episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know, I just feel like it's a lot to process.
Yeah, maybe that's true. Yeah.
I keep thinking like maybe I need to sit down and try to like look back and make sense of all of this before I sit down and actually talk about it for the episode,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. I just haven't been able to do it. So here I am now, probably getting ready to...
what are you getting ready to do, honey?
Spew out unprocessed thoughts. That...
Yeah, I feel you, though, because like it's hard to even think about like what this journey has been like. We started in 2017. It is now 2022.
Yeah, but I think, you know, I mean, yes, it's been 5 years, but I think more importantly than that, we are just in a radically different place.
Yeah.
I mean, we started out as baby sex workers.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily doing online work, primarily doing on like camming together.
Right.
And making some vids.
Yeah.
We started before Fosta Sesta.
Yeah.
Before OnlyFans.
Took off. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know if OnlyFans was a thing when we started, but it certainly wasn't the thing
right.
that it is now.
Yeah.
It was before the pandemic.
Gosh, so many things.
Before I got cancer and nearly died of cancer, or at least died from the operation to remove the cancer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was still a student.
Mm-hmm. When we started, yeah.
Yep. And I hadn't gotten a PhD. my PhD yet, or I got my PhD, you know, in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. We are also broke as fuck, right? Because you were.
Yeah. I mean, I was still working. I was working the corporate job still when we started this. But that, you know, I say that as if I was making like tons of money in the corporate job. That was not the case.
You like, were still sitting at a desk.
I was still sitting at a desk.
With a sign behind you.
With a sign behind me in a, I don't know, what do you call those? Office malls?
Yeah, I don't know. Like a corporate office
hell.
Yeah,
it was like
sweet. I don't
fucking
know.
Terrible. Yeah, so I was doing that, and I had just dropped out of my PhD program.
Yeah,
and
but like more importantly, you had just gotten a. We hadn't even gotten the divorce.
No,
yet.
I don't think
you were
I was
going
divorced
through a divorce, and yeah. You know, and had like left and with like nothing.
Yeah,
and I was like, I had
also nothing.
Nothing. Well, yeah, because I had there was like some budgetary issues, and at the last minute, they told me they didn't have funding for my final year of like my PhD. So I just like basically took a break and mm-hmm. started like trying to work as a photographer and other things.
Yeah, yeah. Gosh, it's so weird because we got together like wasn't that much earlier than when we started this podcast. I mean, it was a couple years, but yeah. Still. Yeah, but still, I mean, this has been like such a tremendous like undertaking, like the podcast, but also just like life in general. And you're right, we started off as baby sex workers and we were broke and we were just kind of trying to make our way. And in the meantime, like you finished your PhD and are now working as an academic. I got out of the corporate hell and became like a full-time sex worker, and my sex work career changed pretty dramatically, actually, like along the way.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point, or like part of the story is, you know, at first we're just kind of like doing sex work, kind of grasping, like, I don't know, trying to buy groceries or whatever, mm-hmm, like come mm-hmm. up with some random extra money in a given week.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're getting on cam, you know, however many nights a week mm-hmm. trying to do that.
Sometimes like early in the morning before I went to work too.
Right.
Remember when we did those early morning shows?
Yeah.
I don't even really know how you did that.
I don't know either. You dragged me into it. But it was like all people from Europe. It was like really interesting. You know, but
it's like so hard to remember now. It was so many years ago.
Yeah. And, you know, it kind of worked. It didn't work that well. We kind of sucked at it.
you say under your breath, we really sucked at camming.
Yeah. And, you know, but it was like whatever. We were just like trying to make it. And then we started this podcast. I mean, there was a couple things. Like I started very slowly, like going back to doing my PhD. Mm-hmm. And when I did, when I went to write a dissertation, I was like, okay, well, we've been camming for a while. I'm going to like actually write my dissertation about this world that we're part of, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. know, this thing that we're doing. And then and that was one of the reasons we decided to start the podcast. As I started to do the dissertation, I was like doing these really like powerful interviews with digital content creators. And I felt like kind of shitty about not being able to like share those interviews because, you know, academic research, there's all these rules and like I had to give everybody pseudonyms and it's just something felt, I don't know. I just didn't want to, like, I really wanted to like make something that would give back to the community more directly. Mm-hmm. And that was like more directly a part of the community than I felt like the dissertation was.
Yeah.
And so that was for me anyways, like a really big motivator, mm-hmm. To starting this whole thing, or like when it really where the germ of the idea.
Now that like I think about it though, I'm like trying to imagine ourselves back in the space when we started this podcast, and I don't know what made us think that we could do it, given that we had no profile really within like the sex work community. We didn't know anybody really.
Right. Well, and that's the funny thing, right? And that's the other part of the story is like we were just so like new to it. And it was like,
it's like embarrassing to think about what on earth were we? Oh, you know what I was just thinking about the other day, actually?
Yeah.
Is that we had on the second episode Isabel Dressler.
Yeah.
And she told us what like trade content was. Like we didn't even know what it was.
Right. Now that you say that, I remember that.
We're wait, how does that work? But like, that's so silly. I can't imagine that we like started a sex work podcast and didn't even know how to do trade content right. at the time.
No, and then like not long after Dahlia D came on and was like, you know, like making the case that like piracy was unavoidable. And I mean, I was like, I think we were both like, yeah, but it's terrible, which we, I think, both really agree with, right? But like, we had some hopes that like maybe, you know, you could like be really strategic.
And, optimism.
I know, you know.
And so ridiculous. But, yeah.
You know, and or at least we could hold platforms more accountable to like help fight it, which I still believe. I mean, I think it's important that we should be holding platforms accountable, but it's also 100% the reality that like in 2022, if you can, like your shit's gonna get pirated,
right? Absolutely.
Like, and that's wrong, and it shouldn't be the case, and we should work to change that. But like, there should be no amount of like naivety about that. Like, it is 100% gonna happen.
But that's just so funny to think about, like how young and how naive we were when we started this.
Oh, I know. No, totally. I mean, and embarrassing is like, it is really embarrassing for me to like. I can't even listen to the old episodes anymore.
Plus, not only did we not know anything, I mean, there's that, but we also like didn't know how to run a podcast.
No, we didn't know how to record anything.
We wrote scripts. We were like reading from.
It was like very stilted, but we like didn't know what to say because we didn't have like much to say, because it's not like we had like, you know, this
any life experience.
Wealth of experience that we were, you know, whatever, drawing on. But I mean, and the sound quality is so bad, and it was it's us in a room around a microphone, like a single microphone, in between us. And there were some times where we had people over, and there were like three of us around one microphone, which is just like picking up all the ringing in our bedroom. Like
it was a whole thing.
It's like, it's painful to listen to.
But I mean, so much has happened since then. Like, you've moved out of like sex work for a whole lot of reasons that I don't know if you want to like
get into. Or at least like 98% out of. I mean, it's certainly not like, you know, I'm mostly retired, mostly former.
Do a lot of production still.
I do a lot of production. Yeah. And I mean, occasionally interface with clients in one way or another, but not
like you used to.
No, not like I used to. I mean, it's a rare thing. Yeah. It's not like it's that much of a complex story. I just have a full-time job that like keeps like it's more than a full-time job. I have a more than a full-time job, and like I can't even keep up with my work as it is, let alone podcast and do another job. I mean, the truth is I still do jobs on top of that, and I still do a lot of like photo work and photo editing work, but like I just can't. I haven't been able to keep up with my workload really since I've recovered from cancer. At that time, I was still finishing a dissertation on top of working full time. And then, you know, since then, I've just been working like a full time job plus like a lot of gig work. And I just have not, I mean, I really haven't been able to keep up. I just have a bad work life balance situation.
Right. Which is like one of the big reasons that we're wrapping up this podcast is that like we just haven't been we've changed our life position, but we also haven't really been able to run it in the way that we used to. So
And I mean, it has been great. You know, it's not like it's not connected. You are now just like I mean, I don't want to speak for you, but you are working full time very successfully as a sex worker, you know, much more so than when we started. And
and which is weird because like we were it's been a whole like evolution. I mean, we started this podcast when we were brand new and I had only done camming and was just starting to get into phone sex, and since then I've transitioned into like almost exclusively escorting with a little bit of online stuff on the side, and that's been a really, really positive like transition for me and for our financial situation. But also like I along the way since we started the podcast, I started doing a lot of public writing too, and ultimately like for a long time that we were doing the podcast, I was writing a weekly sex column, and then, you know, COVID hit and that went away because of advertising dollars, and I ended up like replacing it with a book deal. So I've been really busy with that. And, you know, I'm going to have a book coming out in, you know, probably a little bit over a year. I am trying to wrap that up now, you know, where it just life
trying
is
to wrap that up. You're like halfway through it and writing all the time.
Okay. Yes. I mean, I'm trying to finish it at some point. I have 4 months left.
That's not me being the jealous partner who is like...
Why are you jealous?
Oh, I don't know. Because you spend so much time with your book and so little time with me.
Not like you're not like working all the time.
Yeah, I know.
But... No. Yeah, I mean, things are just like really, really busy right now. You are working a full-time job. I'm gone a lot, traveling a lot for work, and then also writing my book. So.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, I mean, like what you were doing is very much connected. Your book is all about sex work. Mm-hmm. What I'm doing is also still connected. You know, I got a job in a gender, sexuality, and women's studies department. You know, it's not like a fancy tenure track professor job. I'm not even a professor.
They don't even care. Like, this,
I'm a lowly visiting lecturer. But...
Nobody outside of like universities cares about these things.
Well, I care. But anyways, No.
But these distinctions are specific to universities.
No, they're not. because you make half as much and have to reapply for your job every year.
Okay.
But,
all right.
Anyways, but it's, but I do love it. And I love the teaching, and I mean I get to teach a course on sex work every couple of years.
Yeah.
I get to bring people to campus. I get to, like, you know, a lot of my students are sex workers, you know, or have been sex workers, and you know, and I'm like in a place where I get to, like, really, you know, have a direct impact. Like, I get to talk about these issues, you know, with a younger generation of Zoomers who have, like, really open minds about
sex work.
It's really
different, huh?
Yeah, and they really, like, want to learn about, you know, so we're, like, reading Revolting Prostitutes, or, you know, have them sign. I often have people read essays from Lorelei Lee or from, you know, a handful of other folks. And
like who?
and the illustrious Jesse Sage.
Okay, thank you.
You know, it's great. Like, they really, really want to talk about these things and are very, very much as a generation, like, I think, oriented or sympathetic to decrim.
Yeah.
Now, of course, I mean, I have like a little bubble of like queer students who, you know, probably aren't really representative of like all Zoomers, but still, I mean, it feels like really important work to, like, you know, be giving like a generation of like future LGBTQ activists the tools to really be like sensitive to and understand.
Yeah, and able to talk about sex work.
Right. Yeah. And to see the affinities there and to like see, you know, sex workers as like, you know, part of like a broader coalition of you know, marginalized populations who are like, you know, fighting for liberation.
Yeah.
And I think that they like really intuitively see and understand that.
Yeah.
And and it just, you know, it's a job where I can go, you know, come home from work and feel like, you know, making progress every day.
Yeah.
And like see the real progress. And, you know,
well, one of the cool things that we got to do with your job is we had two college interns that's each spent an entire school year with us and interned for Peep Show. And that was amazing.
Yeah. And they did really great work for, you know, when we were running the magazine for like our brief little 9-month experiment where we were running.
Was it only 9 months?
I don't know. Maybe it was 12 months. Okay. But I don't know. It was,
like a huge job. So
yeah,
it felt like
a century. But yeah, you know, wrote some stuff for Peep Show. And then, you know, also Bella later, well, both Bella and
Annie
did podcasts.
Yeah, they did podcasts, and they both published pieces. One published one in Pulp magazine, and one published one in Kinkley.
So, I mean, that was so cool. Like,
yeah, coming out of the work that they did in Peep Show. So, yeah, it was great. It was great to have young, energetic people who brought their own like research interests to Peep Show, and yeah, it was really great.
Yeah, so it's been, you know, I guess I say all this, you know, not to navel gaze, though. I mean, you know, what else is the point of a podcast? No, I'm just kidding. But to, you know, just this kind of say, though, like, we you know, so much of what we're doing is so connected to the work that we've done mm-hmm. on Peep Show. But at the same time, we've kind of also taken that work in different directions that it's just harder and harder to keep up with Peep Show. I mean, today, by the time you're listening, you know, to this, it'll be old news. But today is the day that Elon Musk just, you know, officially struck a deal to purchase Twitter.
Yeah.
I have, you know, no idea what the implications of that are, though I have my suspicions.
What are your suspicions?
The ideal scenario would be that, like, his libertarian ethos means that we would see, you know, diminution of, like, shadow banning and some of mm-hmm. the other, you know, measures that, you know, really affect sex workers, and that there would be more flexibility for Twitter to do that, you know, having gone private, which, you know, they will. You know, but on the other hand, we almost certainly will see, like, you know, a rise of, like, you know, Nazi and overt yeah. racism mm-hmm. and, you know, return of Donald Trump and that sort yeah. of thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think that, like, you know, we will see, like, Twitter become more of a, like, right-wing cesspool than yeah. it already is. But I think that the latter is a given. I think the, you know, have any sort of secondary unintentional benefits to sex yeah. workers is very much up in the air.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he actually, like, intentionally or specifically said that he wants to create free speech for things about legal activity. So I don't know, like, how sex work is going to be, like, interpreted.
Right. Yeah. Which, yeah. you know, being Jewish was illegal under, yeah. you know, not like the idea of, like, you know,
legality
or, yeah. being like a,
also it's like an international platform. So, like, legal where for who?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all I'm saying is that's yeah. like a very facile distinction yeah. that we should mm-hmm. be very suspicious of, mm-hmm. you know, which I think more, you know, likely will mean that, like, Twitter means free speech for powerful white men
right.
and
yeah.
Suppressed speech for everybody else. Yeah. And I think that's the likely.
That's my suspicion. Yeah.
We don't need to go down that rabbit hole anymore. But I just say that other than, like, you know, there was a time in the show's history, you know, the way that we were covering Fosta Sessa, mm-hmm. you know, when we really, you know, were full throttle, you know, running the show, where we would have been scrambling to get people yeah. to come on to, you know, talk about this issue and to kind of help us understand or have context, you know, in terms of, like, anticipating the, mm-hmm. you know, consequences of this acquisition. And, you know, and when we were doing that kind of work, I really do feel like we were doing important work. At yeah. least it felt important to me. Like, there's still, I mean, there are definitely people out there doing, you know, doing that sort of work that, mm-hmm. you know, reporting and a few other podcasts. But there's not a ton. Like, there's not that many places, you know, where sex worker voices and sex worker issues are being covered in depth and covered, you know, in a way that's, like, really responsive to news cycles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we were doing that for a time.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I felt, you know, at that point in time, I felt like that's when, like, we were kind of at our peak, like, really doing, like, mm-hmm. important work that was, like, very directly contributing mm-hmm. to, like, I don't know, public discourse around sex work or
yeah.
you know, whatever. But we don't have the time. I don't have the energy to be responsive to news right. cycles like that now. I mean,
we weren't compensated for that. And I mean, that's something that I think, like, we weren't being paid for that work that we were doing. And it got to a point, and I think that this is, like, very real, where we had to do work that paid our bills, and that wasn't Peep Show.
Right. And that meant, like, committing to do things that came at the expense of us being able to do Peep Show. And
yeah.
Like mm-hmm. when I take a full-time job, that means I can't drop everything and cover a,
right.
you know, a news
yeah. And when I prioritize anymore, like, clients yeah. and prioritize the book that is, like, going to push my career forward more than, you know, Peep Show, I think that, like, those are choices we had to make. And there is something that's, like, bittersweet and sad about that, but there is also, like, a reality to that.
Yeah. And I mean, I, like, am profoundly grateful to everybody who supported the mm-hmm. podcast throughout the years and made it possible for us to do it at all. But I mean, we really were barely scraping by for a long time and like racking up credit card and not, you know, credit card debt and really not getting by for a long time, you know, and the reality is like at some point, like it just became untenable. Like we just were like, you know, financially a wreck and like really couldn't do it anymore. We couldn't be like full-time devoted to like playing journalists when, you know.
When nobody was like hiring us to actually do that. Yeah.
Yeah. But the other reality, and I think this is the hardest thing to talk about, is, you know, simultaneous to a lot of this, we were also doing a lot of organizing work, you know, a lot of work here locally with SWAP Pittsburgh, a lot of work nationally with, you know, SWAP and other organizations. Burnt me the fuck out.
Yeah.
I mean, the truth is, it was honestly really awful. It left me pretty damaged, you know, and I mean, there's a lot of reasons for that. I think when you do organizing work, you know, encounter a lot of people who've had a lot of terrible traumatic experiences. Yeah. And it's like, it is really hard to sort of like come into like to hear all of the, you know, those stories and to like try to like help people in crisis and to like,
and to also like to try, but to not actually have the tools to be able to do that. And like that was one of the things that I left feeling really sad about, is like what I wasn't able to accomplish.
I don't know. Like when you have nothing, I mean, literally, I mean, again, we were just like scraping by, like, and, you know, we really, at least we didn't have any funding to do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, we were just doing volunteer work, but like there just wasn't like, you know, you'd try to like direct people to resources, but like we actually had nothing to give anybody other than maybe like direct them to other resources,
or which like, we had no control over, like whether those resources were actually following up and helpful or not.
And often they weren't. And, you know, and even as best you try to vet things and, you know, and it just, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. And the truth is that a lot of people are also really damaged by that. Mm-hmm. And like that also comes out sideways a lot. I mean, the truth, you know, there's the adage that hurt people hurt people. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, the truth is that there are a lot of people who like, you know, that they're going through like terrible things and like you have like a tremendous amount of like empathy for, because you know like how awful what they've experienced are, but like you know, at the same time, like a lot of times, you know, people who've been through really terrible things also like struggle to trust anybody and are quick to anger and are, you know, and it just, boy, you have to have a thick skin. And I am not somebody who has a thick skin. Mm-hmm. And
Sometimes I think it was a lot of that was harder on you than it was on me.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I carry a lot of trauma still. Like, I mean, I'm in therapy for it. Like, I still have like a lot. I have like panic attacks around stuff. Like, I just can't have these experiences of like not being able to help people or people getting angry because you can't. I don't know, or just because, I don't know, because there are also people disagree about tactics and strategy and other things, and the stakes are so high that, like, you know, there's just a lot of emotions and a lot of...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like one of the things that's, like, coming out of what we've been saying since the very beginning of this episode is that, like, we started in sex work, let's say around eight years ago. Around 5 years ago, we started this podcast. We were still babies insofar as like we were doing other things. This was like a part-time thing that we did. We were very idealistic. We came in like thinking, not understanding the complexity of sex work and sex work activism, and just trying to offer what we could. And that process was amazing, and we learned like so much together as like a couple, but also as business owners and as people who were like just trying, and activists and people who were trying to do a lot. But there was a lot that we didn't know and that we didn't anticipate, and a lot of it felt like a baptism by fire. And I feel like there's only so long that you can can do that. And we, I think, are the type of people who like took on everything that we could take on.
Right.
And we're like, we're going to respond to every like news cycle that's related to sex work. But we're also going to be doing the like ground floor organizing. And we're also going to run a like organizing chapter. And we're also going to do all this stuff. And, you know, over the years, realized that, you know, we can't possibly do all of those things, that it's outside of the capability of anyone to do any of that, and that we kind of had to pull back and take some space for ourselves and figure out like where our abilities lie and what we can do.
Yes, all of that. And also, I think that we're both the kinds of people who like want to throw ourselves into like, I don't know, just like trying to do something, like trying to like find a way to do some good in the world, right? Mm-hmm. You know, trying to like help our communities. And I guess I'm like a very community oriented person, you know, but I think we were fucking naive.
Yeah.
You know, with all of that stuff, all of the like, you know, not just any one of those things, but all of those things, to how hard all of them are, how incredibly hard all of those different kinds of work were. And some more than others, I was like, you know, in retrospect, like was profoundly like ill-equipped for, like, and just like, I think, you know, constitutionally or personality-wise, unsuitable for, like, there's just, there are just things that, like, I'm not fucking good at, right? Like, you know, like, there are things that, like, I just, as a person, am not, like, you know, like, as capable of as
well. We're also, like,
other people are.
Both of us are bookish, introverted people who aren't gonna be like, who will show up at a march and who might like record it and talk to people, but we are not leading stuff,
right?
Like in that regard,
right?
And we are not front and center type of people.
No, and that's the part I hated like the absolute most, and the part that like really I think messed me up was like feeling compelled to like,
and kind of being pushed into those roles that we couldn't do,
right? And you know, and like I don't know, I kind of had to learn how to like just be like, no, this is there are things I'm capable of and there are things I'm not capable of, or, you know, there's things I'm good at and there's things I'm not good at, or things that just like wreck me, you know, emotionally. And I just like have to like try to like give in the ways that like I'm capable, and then like acknowledge the limits of where I'm not capable of. And, you know, and I feel like that's been such a huge part of the growth process. I mean, one, again, it's just acknowledging my own naivety, like, and being really upfront about like how ignorant we were going into all of this. But then like also like the self-growth part was just to realize like, but like I'm not equally capable in of doing all of these things.
I mean, I think it's also worth saying, because, you know, as like over the course of the 5 years that we did this podcast, it's also true that we kind of became public figures, and as public figures, you kind of have to shape what you say and how you say it and what you're doing and how you present yourself. And I feel like one of the things that we didn't do in an attempt to keep everything together is talk about like how hard our own life was when we were going through all of that. And I think like as you're talking about like all of this like trauma that we experience like trying to do this work, what was in the background of all of that is we were really broke and really struggling financially. You got cancer and were really, really sick and almost died. One of our kids had really severe mental health issues. You know, there was a lot that was going on that made our life like really, really difficult.
Yeah. I mean, that's all true. And I think like, and you've talked about some of that in your writing, but certainly with the podcast and a lot of what we were doing is like, we were really trying to like, not focus on that. We're like focused on like trying to like platform other people and trying to like, you know, help build organizations, you know.
But we were drowning. I don't think that we've said that like that before, and certainly not like publicly, but like for much of the time that we were trying to do Peep Show, we were drowning. And
part of the reason that we are wrapping it up is that we started taking care of ourselves. We couldn't do both.
Right.
And we need to not drown for the sake of our kids, for the sake of our marriage, for the sake of each other, you know, and our own lives. And,
yeah,
you know, and I think that like learning to do that and learning like what to say yes to and what to say no to has been like really part of our growth process.
Definitely. It's complicated in the sense that I think like that was also part of the appeal of Peep Show, is because like a bit of it was an escape or whatever, or like a way of like, wow, we can like make something or do something, and like we can get the show out, or we could have a really interesting interview, or like meet someone really interesting, you know. And like, and I think it did feel good. Like we really grew
and met so many people
and like connected to other sex workers in a way that like made us not feel alone in the world. And I think when you're drowning, that feels like really good.
Yeah.
Like it's like you're building your own safety net or something. I think there was like there was a way in which at times like the podcast served as a kind of lifeline for us. And, you know, and a lot of the podcast community came, you know, together when I was really sick, and like helped, you know, raise money, you know, in a GoFundMe when I worked through chemotherapy and everything, but I eventually got so sick and had this surgery that like really, you know, I had to get 6 blood transfusions, and I was like really, really like not doing well. And like, you know, the community like really, really helped us like kind of raise money and, you know, pay so we could pay our bills and like get through that really hard time, you know. So like in very material ways it was a lifeline, but also like just, you know, having a community. But then at the same time it also like at other times I think really kind of contributed to this sense that we were drowning by like, you know, being another piece of work, another thing that we like, I don't know, just couldn't get to, or like, you know, we're struggling to make work. And, you know, so I think it was both. It was hard.
Yeah, we were not consistent with when we put episodes out. And that was because we like just couldn't be.
Yeah. And I mean, there's, you know, there's just been so many things that have happened. And there were periods of time where you got the episodes out, but I was just totally out of, I mean,
there was like probably a 6-month period where I did 90% of the episodes. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I mean, I just like wasn't, I couldn't even think straight. I don't know. I was
like chemo,
I was
just brain.
Like, yeah, I was like, if I could, like, I was happy that I could, like, walk up the stairs, you know? Yeah. I was like, I mostly just played Zelda and slept. But, yeah, I just think it's a complicated story. Like, it was really hard, and we were really struggling. And, you know, the podcast was, like, a really bright spot, but it was also sometimes, like, a weight, you know? And I do think what you said is right. Like there's, I think we kind of had to like grow up a little bit, and we had to get our shit together in a way that like, you know, we went on for a really long time, like really just not making it.
Yeah.
And
on a hope and a prayer. Yeah. And then we had to be like, wait, no, we can't, this isn't working. We need to sit down and figure out like how we're going to make our lives work and how we're going to make our life work. And we have, I mean, the bright spot in a lot of this is that like, we did learn how to do that. We did, like, we are in a completely different situation than we used to be in. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we did pour so much time and energy into this work that we did. And so, like, I don't want to take, like, anything away from that. But it did take, like, coming to decisions about, like, what we were going to prioritize.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And, you know, and that has meant that ultimately I don't think we can do the show in the way that, certainly not in the way that we did it when it really was working. Like when it really was like responding to, you know, the news in a timely fashion. And when we were like really contributing directly to like public discourse in, you know, in like an immediate and relevant way.
Right.
But also, I mean, I think part of it, too, is, like, there's, you know, at least I feel, I mean, I am embarrassed when I listen back to, like, a lot of our older episodes. I think there's something to be said for, like, starting a new chapter and being able
I mean, that's what I was going to say, too, is that it's not all like bad. Part of it is that we would like we are not the same people. Like we're not in the same place, but we're also not the same people that started this show. And I feel like both of us feel like we did a lot of talking and we both felt like we wanted to start from where we are now, which is very, very different.
Yeah. And pursue the kinds of projects that reflect the people we are now, or that, you know, feel reflective of where we're at. I'm struggling a lot more, like mental health wise, with, you know, with a lot of what we do and a lot of what we've done. I mean, particularly the organizing work that we've done. But I think that, like, as anyone who's listening to this probably knows, that there's a lot. There's a lot of injustice and a lot of hurt that exists within the world of sex work. And for me, that's really like weighed on my mind, my emotions, I have struggled a lot. And, you know, that's made the show harder to do, too. Like, if I'm being perfectly honest, you know, all of the other things that we said, but also just like mental health wise, I think that, like, I don't know, I guess I have a lot of pain from doing, you know, being involved in the ways that I've been involved over the years. And it's just not, it's not as easy for me to be like on top of things the way that we once were. And I don't know, I have a lot of fear.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of fear. I have a lot of fear about, like, I mean, you see a lot of bad things happen to a lot of people, but I also see people in the community hurt each other. You know, it's both from without and from within. And I live in, you know, with a lot of fear that I don't think I had when I was like younger and brighter eyed and more naive. And I just think that this, it makes it a lot harder to do this sort of work.
I feel that. I think that for me, and I don't know if it's just a matter of personality or background or what, I experienced a lot of the things that, I guess I could say all of the things that you experienced. I mean, we went through a lot of this together. I don't think that it's too exaggerated to say that I have some PTSD from the last 5 years of our lives. But I think that it's a little bit easier for me on a day-to-day level. But I also think that my energy is elsewhere now.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that, like, that's valid, too. You know, I think that, like, there's other things that we want to work on and other things that we want to do. And I don't necessarily feel like I need to chime in on everything that's happening in the sex work community anymore. There's a big part of me that feels like we did that work, and we would like to pass it on to other people to take that, to take that over, and that I would rather do, you know, contribute in the ways that are like meaningful to me instead of just in all of the ways that are possible.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And I think that's, agree, that's equally valid. You know, and I guess we're probably both coming to the same place for slightly different reasons. But, you know, nonetheless, I think both of us are in a position to need to pivot a little bit and to turn that new chapter. Yeah, I don't know. I still have a lot of like questions about, you know, what my future, like what, you know, I mean, you're writing a book. You're going to, I mean, it's going to be awesome.
I also have to say that, like, I, at this point in my career, like, even though we came in like part-time and very naive, like 5 years, 8 years down the road from when I started, like, this is my career now. Like, I'm a full-time sex worker, and I think that this will be what I do in some capacity for a really long time. So yeah, but I need to throw myself into that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And, you know, it's a little different for me. I am, you know, I've gone from being like a sex worker, like pretty, you know, working pretty regularly and pretty seriously in the industry to being a little bit more adjacent to the industry. You know, though, my heart is still very much with mm-hmm. you know, with sex workers. You know, I don't think I've actually fully figured out like what that means. You know, I've like taken mm-hmm. this job and I'm like, you know, I've got to like write a few pieces that are based out of my dissertation. And then like, I don't 100% know what's mm-hmm. next for me. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think I have as clear of a sense of what my long term is. I probably will keep teaching for a long time. Yeah. I do really like it, but in terms of like, you know, that's also, you know, it's a job. It's a great job, but it's not like yeah. necessarily really creating something in the way that like making a book or yeah. a podcast
right,
is.
And right.
mm-hmm. you know, I'm not exactly sure where I'm going to put my creative energies or like yeah. exactly what my relationship to sex work is going to be,
yeah,
you know, going forward, other than like, I don't think you can, you know, it's not like you know, those experiences I had are erasable or something, like
right.
all mm-hmm. of the stuff we've experienced in the last, like, I don't know, eight years now. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of definitely left like a pretty indelible mark. So,
yeah.
You know, and has shaped so much of how I think about the world, like in really positive ways.
Yeah.
Again, I feel like a lot less naive. I mean, I feel like, and also a lot more grown up.
I have to say, like, as you know, as an end of this journey reflection, this was also a great experience. And I'm like super, even though lots of things were difficult, I feel like this changed my life. Like this,
yeah.
like, this as in the podcast, this is in the reporting that we did, this is in the organizing we did, this is in the work that we did, this is in the being outed, this is in like all of the things that happened along the way, really like shaped me and radicalized me and have been like tremendously life-changing. And I feel like a different person. And maybe that's like the place that we... a reason to end this show as it is that like I am not the same person that I started, and I'm really grateful for that. I'm really grateful for that journey. But yeah, I mean, now we need to like think about where we want to go from here.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'll second that. I think it was like really profound and transformative for me as well. And even if I like don't have a clear sense of exactly where I'm going, I do have a clear sense of where I'm coming from and how, mm-hmm. you know, how deeply that's shaped my mm-hmm. relationship to, you know, everything, and how yeah. like, I don't think that, I know that whatever I'm going to be doing is still going to be like, you know, deeply connected to this and to what
yeah.
we have been, you know, have been doing together.
Can I be, sappy for 1 minute?
I'll steal myself.
Also, I want to say that like doing something this like big and involved with you as like my life partner has been really like a beautiful experience. And I am so grateful to like have done something so many different like creative and stimulating and interesting projects like with you. And I really love you.
Hmm. Well, you know, as much as I'm reticent to be sappy, I will say that, you know, I do have like a cold and desiccated heart. But I do, I feel the same way. And actually I've been sad as we've, you know, as the podcast has been winding up and we've had less of this time together, and, you know, I've been able to work on, or been working on things less together. I have really missed that because it was like so precious to me to be able to share that time with you. And I also love you.
You just like made me tear up a little bit. But we have other projects that we are going to do together, and we are finding our way back to those.
All right. And now for that announcement we've been promising you.
Yeah. All this talk about Peep Show ending and how sad we are that Peep Show's ending and how sad we are to not be doing, you know, that project together anymore. We have a new project that we are very excited about.
Yeah. So we are going to start a sex industry book club.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a podcast, but kind of like a book club. And you guys can follow along. It's a podcast book club. Yeah. So we are nerds. And that's been abundantly clear throughout this podcast.
There's one thing to take away from the great Peep Show experiment. It is that we are nerds.
Yeah, yeah. Star Trek nerds and also kind of bookie nerds. Mm-hmm. We've wanted to start a new project together and we're finally in a place that we can do that. But like we said earlier in the episode, we started the podcast as people working together, doing content creation and camming and are in very different places right now. And so we wanted to do a project that kind of draws on where both of us are right now. And I'm writing a book and I'm a full-time sex worker and PJ is teaching and doing the academic scholarly thing. And so we thought that we would do a book club where we could talk about books and talk to writers who are writing and covering the sex industry, either as sex working writers or journalists or people in and adjacent to the sex industry.
That was good.
That was good? Okay. That was the first time I've, like, you know, done a pitch for this show.
Yeah, you pitched it.
Yeah.
Knocked it out of the park. Wow, Will, I just really mixed baseball metaphors. But, okay. So the goal is that we are going to read a book a month and hopefully talk to the authors of those books, or maybe we'll talk to other people, you know, who are really interested in those books. And we also want to take your questions.
Yeah, we want to take you on this journey, which means that we're not just going to put out an episode of the book club. We're going to announce beforehand who we're going to have on, what book we're reading. Our goal is to have as many people as want to join us on this journey read the books with us, be interested and invested in learning more about the industry, and who will send us audio and written questions to engage with our guests with us.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
I'm sold.
Okay. So without further ado, we are going to be putting out our first episode. We're hoping to get it out before we go to XBiz next week because that, you know, that makes sense.
Yeah.
We're going to a big industry event. And
yeah. To talk about books.
Everybody else is going to be fucking and we're going to be talking about books.
Everyone else is going to be like, how do I make money? How do I make good porn? And we're going to be like, hey, you want to read books?
I mean, that's totally on brand, though.
Yeah. No, I feel good about it.
Yeah. So the first book that we're doing is Heather Berg's Porn Work. The subtitle of the book is Sex, Labor, and Late Capitalism. It is on UNC Press. I would urge you to buy this book and to read it along with us. And we will be having Heather Berg on the first episode of Sex Industry Book Club.
Yeah, and if you read this book really soon, like in the next couple days, or perhaps you've already read it, which bonus points for you, please feel free to send us some questions. And as we get this whole book club podcast thing off the ground, we'll hopefully be on a better schedule where we give you lots more time to.
Yeah. And so in every episode, we will tell you what the next book is going to be. And we would appreciate it if you went and followed us on socials. We have new socials on Instagram and Twitter, and they are at X Industry Books. X Industry Books.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah. Go follow us at X Industry Books, the Sex Industry Book Club.
Yeah.
I think that's it. That's all we have to say.
Well, we'll give you credit for coming up with the handle because I was really struggling to think of something. And then you came up with that one. And I was like, damn.
Yeah. You know, sometimes every once in a while I have a good idea.
Inspiration struck.
Yeah. Anyways, so we're really excited about it. We want to take you on this book journey with us. And we are excited to nerd out with you.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's to new horizons.
And farewell, podcast. Thank you so much for everybody who has followed us on this journey and who supported our podcast and who's given us all of the love that you've given us. So thank you so much. We have thoroughly appreciated and enjoyed this process.
Yeah, it's been a great several years. And, you know, I don't think...
Don't cry, PJ. We got a new project going. It's okay. He's all emotional over here.
And I think we'll, you know, be up forever changed by it.
We will be forever changed by it.
I want to thank you all for giving us
that. I think that we, despite how hard a lot of our life has been in the last 5 years, I would say that we're forever changed for the better.
Yeah.
All right. Love you all.
All right. Signing off for the last time.
Have a good day.
Thank you for joining us for yet another episode of the Peep Show podcast. I'm PJ Sage, and you can find me on Twitter at PJ Sage.
And I'm Jessie Sage, and you can find me on Twitter at sapiotextual or at jessiesage.com.
We would like to remind you that we have a Patreon account and would appreciate your support. Please visit patreon.com/peepshowpodcast. Our music is courtesy of Joe Kennedy. The show was produced by Jessie and PJ Sage.
Signing off. Have a great week.